Today, we have the privilege of chatting with Anik Singhal, a visionary entrepreneur and the driving force behind Learn. Anik's journey is not just a tale of business acumen and success, it's a testament to the power of resilience, learning from failures, and the relentless pursuit of dreams. And from challenging the norms of a traditional career path to overcoming staggering obstacles, his story inspires and educates. And today we're going to dive deep into the mind of the man who's turned his passion into a thriving business empire and is now a beacon of hope and guidance for entrepreneurs worldwide. Anik, welcome. It's a pleasure to chat with you.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and I appreciate the time.
Well, maybe I can start by asking you about the moment you realized that entrepreneurship was your true calling.
Oh man, you know, so it's funny because I think there were lots of hints along the way since I was a little kid. I think I realized it thoroughly though when I was already in pre-med, I'm in college, I'm on a full scholarship. I mean, I'm on a one-way ticket to Ivy League med schools. I have my life made, and yet there I lay in bed, miserable. I couldn't get out of bed every morning. And when I say I'm made, I mean, I am going to undergrad at one of the best programs in the country that I competed to get into. I have a full scholarship. I'm actually getting paid to go to college. I'm being recruited to go to top Ivy League med schools my freshman year of pre-med. So I'm like, I have it made, and yet I was miserable. And so there was a moment I remember sitting back, and one morning, I'm a very self-reflective person. I can reflect really well, and I think that's a skill that everyone should develop. And so I asked myself one morning when I just did not want to go to class, I said, when was I the happiest? When have I been the happiest? And I realized going all the way back to when I was a little kid, I was like, I misjudged myself this whole time. I was the happiest when I was doing my own thing. I was the happiest when I was, you know, building a business or being creative and out there creating. And so while still in pre-med, I started doing little tinkering or little entrepreneurial projects, and I just loved it. And although none of it was working, I eventually took the massive step of just leaving this made for me life all behind. And I went to switch universities. I went to study business. And I think it was somewhere freshman year early when I started college that I realized it. But then, I mean, you go back to when I was in third grade, and now that I realize it, there's clear signs that I was an entrepreneur as far back as I can think.
Yeah, hindsight can be a good thing, can't it, when you look back on those early achievements. What was the initial challenge that you faced, though, when you started out, when you decided that this was your future?
Yeah, I think the initial challenge we all face is just lack of knowledge, lack of association, lack of everything, right? You just don't know where to go, who to go to. I don't have entrepreneurs in my family at the time. I didn't know what I didn't know. And so here I am trying to build a business. What does that mean? There's a gazillion options out there. I have no money. I'm not going to ask my parents. I don't even want to tell anybody that I'm doing this because they're all going to call me crazy. It's not like anyone believes what you believe. And so it's that lonely lack of knowing, yet you're still inspired and you want to figure it out. And then all of that piles on with the fact that you make mistake after mistake after mistake. You make error after error. So you're failing. You don't know who to ask for help. You don't want to tell anybody, yet you still believe. It's this really strange mixture of feelings. And those who survive through that and thrive through that are the ones that succeed. Many, I believe, that have tried to become an entrepreneur get stuck somewhere in those mixture of feelings and can't get past it. And that's where they fall apart. So that was my first biggest challenge, was just figuring out, how do I carve through this massive, right? Here's the thing. If you want to be a doctor, it's a pretty set straight path. Lawyer path, engineer path, plumber path. I mean, every profession out there has a clear-cut path. You can Google it, and it tells you, boom, 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 boom. Entrepreneurship does not. There is no path. And so that, I think, is the biggest challenge an entrepreneur goes through.
And they say that success leaves clues. Did you look up to anybody at this time, Anik? Who were your mentors, if you like?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had many mentors throughout my entire career, and I feel that mentors – you have some mentors that will be with you forever, but you have some mentors that you will be with you for a period of time, and then you actually surpass them. I think the person I looked up to the most was my father. Now, he's not an entrepreneur. He's a nuclear mechanical engineer. He's a brilliant man, and he's way smarter than I am, but he's in a completely different line. However, here's what's really inspiring. He grew up in a village at one point that had no electricity. He used to study for his school under lampposts, street lampposts. His house had no electricity, candles. And yet, and here's the irony, and yet he went on to, at the end of his career, he's retired now, he was the head of two nuclear power plants in the United States. Wow. Literally the government head. So he could at any moment's notice shut them down, turn them on, boss them around. And I thought that was the most ironic thing. I think about it. Someone who grew up studying with no electricity, now overseeing and commanding the electricity that millions of people receive. And I saw where he took our family single-handedly. My mom was mostly stay at home. She had a daycare at the house, but it was kind of on and off. And so my dad, and I watched what he did, and I saw the opportunities he gave me. And so I always tell people that even when I do become a billionaire in my life at some point, my success and feats that I achieve will be nowhere near what my father did. I mean, he crossed far, far bigger chasms of success. So I used to look at that and just say, it's upon me to take our family name to the next level, and I need to do that. And then, of course, in business, I had great mentors at different parts. An individual who really made a deep impact in my life in the world of direct marketing and information marketing was Justin Ford, who, I don't know why, saw talent in me and didn't just take me on. He insisted and fought and convinced me to let him mentor me. And he's actually the brother of Mark Ford, which many people may not know, is Michael Masterson, who's arguably one of the best copywriters to have ever lived. So I got the good fortune of being directly mentored and coached by the brother of the best marketer who's ever lived. So, you know, those are two people that I think just I always consistently try to remember and give credit to for where I am today.
Am I right in thinking that you started out small with like just a $300 investment in your business? Is that correct?
It was even less. I won $100 at a Super Bowl game. Our families would always come together at Super Bowl, and we would do these guess the score contests, right? So everyone put $5 in the pot. I remember I think I put 5 or 10 in, and I guessed the right score. It turned into $100. That was the money I had to start my first business. I blew through it in the matter of just days. And then, obviously being in college, I had my father's credit card. So I was so optimistic and so positive that I kept things going, except now I was putting money on his credit card that I did not have. And so I blew up another $300 on top of the $100. And at that point, I stopped it. And I paid him back through savings that I had, but it took me a while after that until I had my first breakthrough. But my first quote-unquote business venture online was started with $100 from a Super Bowl game plus, let's just say, a $300 loan from my father, which completely collapsed, failed, didn't work. However, in the process of all of that, I learned a lot of skills that till this day serve me.
And from those humble beginnings, if you like, you've grown a massive business. People may recognize you from Learn, which became hugely successful. And I know that more recently you've had a few challenges based around that. How comfortable are you, Anik, about talking about that side of things?
Oh, I'm an open book, my friend. I talk about absolutely anything that's happened in my life. Never hide anything.
Great stuff. Okay. Well, in that case, let's maybe just touch a little bit on Learn, this company that you'd grown. Tell us about that and going through that process of growing such a large company, and then what happened next?
Yeah, so Learn, you know, was a culmination of many companies and many ideas. And I'll give you the shorter version, but I believe if I could go back, I'm being honest with you. I don't have regrets. I love every part of my life. I love what I've done. But if I could go back, and I actually, it's funny, I wanted to write a book, and I think I'm going to write one, which is an interview with myself at the age of 40 is really what I want to call it, which is I turned 40. I want to interview myself. What have I learned? Right. And it's meant to be ideally a book read by 20, 30 year olds. And one of the things I would talk to myself about is pick a business idea or pick a type of business that's simple, that can scale, and that 20 years of invested time can turn it into something huge. But pick something that's got a model out there. Unless you've got something truly innovative, like you've invented the next iPhone, or you've invented some technology like AI or whatever. If it's not that, pick a model that's simple, because the business model I chose was not simple. It was very hard. It was very complicated. Of course, at the time I didn't know. But It started simple. So it started with me selling information. I took knowledge out of my head. I put it down into some form of written and video format, and I sold it to people. And I started to do very well with that. In doing that, I started to build quite an audience. I had an email list that was hyper-responsive. I could generate thousands of clicks and make hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars of sales of products. I would promote someone else's product as an affiliate, and it would work really well, and I'd make, you know, a lot of money. So one day I had this idea years ago, 15 plus years ago. I said, what if I were to publish somebody else? So instead of selling them as an affiliate, what if I brought them into my institution, into my company, did all the work, put the course together, published it, sold it to my community, plus also went out and did what I do with other affiliates to get them to sell it. I could make a larger share. And so basically I was becoming a distributor of a publishing house. My now skill set became the fact that I had reach, distribution, market, and I did very well with that. I was able to publish a couple people, make really good money, and make them a lot of good money and made them into prominent names in the industry. And I did that for some time. In the middle, I had this idea once to commoditize education. I'm all about education. And I started to build this platform that was supposed to basically be this place where people can upload their education and sell it. And I wanted to take what is a Harvard level education and commoditize it. I wanted to connect. I believe in peer-to-peer education. I think remove the middle, remove the institutions. If someone's a great investor, if someone's a great rose gardener, if someone's a great whatever, connect the student direct to that person, not the teachers who just take theory. So I started to build this platform. I don't know technology. I don't know coding. I built an office in India. I got completely blown away, millions of dollars wasted. I was shutting the whole operation down. And that very day, my now wife, at that time girlfriend, comes running up to me and says, have you seen this? And she shows me Udemy. So here it was, somebody else in the world in Turkey and three guys in a garage building the very company that I was trying to build. It was almost like they had a camera in my head. So it's a huge failure. But that didn't stop me from wanting to build that. I came back and turned Learn. That's why the name Learn exists, by the way. It's a generic name because it was supposed to be a generic educational platform. However, I lost a lot of money, went to near bankruptcy during that time, came back and decided to build a company that would be an educational platform, but for entrepreneurs. So now I was really tripling down on becoming a publishing house. Now, I'll tell you the challenge with being a publishing house. You, in the direct marketing world, funnels, copy, paid ads, these require a very special skill set. This skill set is not readily available on the internet. Most people that are really good at this skill set are out there doing it for themselves. So hiring the right team was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. It was the biggest challenge I ever conquered. And I was struggling and I was slogging and working 20-hour days and I was making great money, but I was miserable. I wasn't happy. At this point, I'm married and I'm not, it was just it was miserable. 2020, the business blows up post-COVID. And I'm making more money than I've ever made in my life, and I'm miserable. So I finally decide to really pour money into hiring. I go and I hire the best of the best of the best of the best, okay? And I work with them, and we got it. It took forever. And by early 2022, we were good. I had someone ready to step in as a CEO for me. I had my team running. We had a system down. We were scaling. In 2022, we were going to do $40 million in revenue. We were climbing and climbing. And my wife and I were expecting our first baby in April. So on April 21st, I'm also in the middle of getting acquired. I have an acquisition offer on the table. We've gone through due diligence. I'm going to have the entrepreneurial dream. April, I'll have my baby. And I was hoping to be acquired by July or August. May comes, I come back to work. I decide I'm stepping down as CEO. I'm going to name my right hand as CEO. He's going to get to shepherd the company through this acquisition. And once the company gets acquired, I'm taking a year off. I'm going to be dad. And I'm going to go back, regroup, figure out what the next project is that I want to launch. And I'll get to come back a year or so. So I get the entrepreneurial dream. My dream was to build and sell a company by the time I'm 40. I was just turning 40. I was a year before 40. I was like, this is amazing. I did it, right? Did the company get as big as I wanted? No. Was it still going to be an amazing story? Heck yes. All right. So it took forever to figure that out, to build a system, to be able to step down. And I'm proud of what we built till this day. Love what we did. May, third week of May, I'm back in the office for only 3 days from paternity leave. And I get the dreaded FedEx package in the mail from the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, which for anyone who's not in the United States who doesn't know what that is, it's a regulatory body from the government. It's a federal government regulatory body that oversees consumer-related matters, commerce, basically. And I was told in that letter, which was 31 pages, that the FTC would like to be closer to me for the next coming months. And that was another way of saying they wanted to investigate me. Well, even as I talk about it today, my stomach falls to the bottom of my, like my heart falls to the bottom of my stomach because everything shattered that moment. I wasn't going to get to step down as CEO anymore. I wasn't going to get acquired anymore. And here's the irony. May of 2022 was going to be a record-breaking month for us. It was 15 years of me trying to figure out how to build that type of business, the publishing company. I had just nailed it. It ended up not being a record-breaking month. Hmm. Within 2 days of receiving that notice, I shut down 80% of my business, not because they made me, but because I'm a publishing company. So obviously the people who I publish, I'm not going to hide this from them, even though I wasn't required to tell them. I was going to tell them. And the minute I told them, what do you think they would ask me? They'd ask me to shut down their promotions, of course. So I shut it down beforehand. 80% of my 40 million a year, what was projected to be 40 million a year company, poof, gone in a matter of seconds. And I had to lay off about 80% of my team. Within 3 days, my life turned upside down. And in the end, it came down to just a few things being said in the marketing that they did not like, that were against the rules. And it turned my entire life and my, I mean, it was, it's a crazy time. And I'm telling you what proceeded after that, the 18 months investigation, took 18 months to close it, to settle. Am I alive? Am I good? Am I more blessed than 99% of people in the world? Yes, I'm grateful for it. But the 18 months was, as I put it, for those 18 months, and even since then, I would say I have been where hell goes when hell has been bad.
Right. I was going to say, most people look forward to receiving a FedEx package. You know what I mean? Normally, it's a nice thing that arrives. So that must have been quite a shock just in itself. But then for everything to unravel off the back. And as you say, I guess a lot of your colleagues, your co-publishers, if you like, they're worried about